Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Hour number two on FST. Kicking it off. Doing AFC North previews. We had Rich Sermonello, college football expert in the first hour. We got Gary Davenport, IDP, fantasy football, NFL expert, coming up at 1 hour from now. He'll give us some sense of IDPs both in the AFC North and around the league. So, a little bit of news. David Bakhtiari, Packers left tackle, carted off with an ankle injury at Saturday's scrimmage. That is horrendous news, but I did read, some little Twitter digging. Seems like he walked on it as well. Is that a high ankle sprain? Is it worse? Don't know. They obviously need him. He had the Pro Football Focus's number one pass blocking grade amongst all tackles last season. So clearly important. I know Aaron Rodgers is a huge fan of his. He lobbied for him to get paid. So you really need to keep an eye on that one. That would severely impact their offensive line. Odell Beckham confident on getting the new deal. They're playing nice in the sandbox. How about the Giants and Odell? You know, like, it's not done yet, but we'll get there.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's been interesting to see him.
It
not
was nasty
hold
for
out.
A while.
I just guess that he maybe more than anybody has just taken so much crap that he probably felt like a holdout was maybe something that was going to put him in an even worse position.
I'm not going to be entirely on his side. I mean, he's made himself a social media lightning rod at times. He has been smarter about it of late, but I mean, he's not an innocent party here in terms of a team, particularly a team like the Giants, giving a little bit of pause before we get the long-term deal done. You understand what I mean?
Well, in theory, sure, but he has been their offense for 3 years.
He's the best player on the whole team.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
No debate. But you start giving people $80 million, you got to check all the boxes. You know what I mean?
Sure.
All right. That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to bash Odell. I like the fact that he's got flair and personality, but he's been a little bit of a knucklehead too, including on the field, by the way, throwing helmets and all that nonsense. I know it's a couple of years in the rearview mirror, but it happened. So we talked about Sony Michel. We talked about Josh Gordon. Now we're going to turn. I'll give you one little piece of news on the Steelers before we turn over to breaking them down. Tight end Vance McDonald is listed as the starting tight end on the Steelers' first depth chart. As expected, McDonald buoyed his 10-catch, 112-yard performance of last season's divisional round into an initial starting role in the Steelers' offense. He was hurt a lot last year. Pro Football Focus, this is all according to RotoWorld. Pro Football Focus graded him number two among 70 qualifiers at his position in run blocking, giving him massive sleeper appeal as an every-down player in the event he stays healthy. So that's kind of an interesting thing. We'll talk about him in a little bit. So this is my team, buddy. They went 13-3 last year, and they couldn't get out of their own way in the game against the Jags, a game that they should have won. So
may I
a bad loss. And it made it a disappointing season after them having, you know, like the thing you think about despite a 13-3 season is like they really should have beaten. I know Scott Engel always corrects me on this. Maybe not should have beaten, but they really had the game in their hands against the Pats.
Mm-hmm.
And they just played horribly at during stretches against the Jaguars. And they could have had that one, too, if they just tightened it up a little bit. The Shazier loss was very noticeable down the stretch, particularly in those two games. Not an excuse. Other teams lose important players, and they get over it. The Steelers couldn't. So there you go. 13-3 last year. They got to come back. They have an aging quarterback. They have likely one more year with Le'Veon Bell. They have the best receiver in football. They have a tremendous second-year receiver. My outlook is that they just got to win the Super Bowl. They just have to do it. They're good enough to win the Super Bowl. There you go.
So here's the question that I want to ask you, kind of left, because I know that there are so many fantasy relevant guys, only team with two first-round picks on their team, and I know we're going to get to all of that, but I actually do want to start on what you just mentioned with Shazier, because when he got hurt, defense was really, really bad. Like, Baltimore ran all over them. They were okay in the New England game. They played the Texans and the Browns. That doesn't count. And then the Jaguars completely embarrassed
them. But they weren't, and when it mattered, Gronkowski shredded them in the fourth quarter of that game because they had nobody to cover him. It's why Shazier's not there. It's why Mike Mitchell's not there anymore. There's a bunch of changes that they had to make. And, you know, I do think that Keith Butler and Tomlin have not done a great job, specifically against the Patriots, in trying to scheme around zone coverages. You know, they just get picked apart often by Brady.
Well, so that was going to just lead to my question, is last year, over the course of this season, they finished with a top 10 defense, but on the trajectory of what they were without Shazier, they were not going to be anywhere near a top 10 defense. So do you think that that is going to be a carryover where they're just in a bunch of shootouts? Now, they can win shootouts with any team in this league. So it's not enough to question me whether they're going to win this division. But do you think that they could find themselves in a bunch of shootouts because without Shazier, this defense falls apart?
I think it's a fair question. I don't think they're going to fall apart because you have now TJ Watt in his second season, and I think he's a better player than people even realized last year. He was probably the best rookie linebacker in the league last year. He's one of the better linebackers overall. I think he could really step up. He's playing a different position, though. He's not in the middle. He's really on the outside and doing some pass rushing. He's not a pure edge rusher, but he will do some of that and pick up some sacks. I think he had 7.5 last year. So, but the reality is, I would have, 1 year ago, and I said it with George, I thought the Steelers had the best roster in the league. It's why I thought they had to win, and they don't have that anymore. I think you could argue the Eagles, you could argue the Falcons and Saints and a few other teams are equal or better. But I thought 1 year ago they had the best roster, and without Shazier there, that is no longer the case. Mm-hmm. Obviously, some coaching changes have been made too. Todd Haley leaves, and Randy Fitchner, who's a longtime coach for the Steelers, he's been there since 07. He's there during the Tomlin era. He was a wide receivers coach originally. He's been quarterbacks coach since 2010. He's now the offensive coordinator, along, and obviously has a close relationship with Roethlisberger. So that's a big change too. But do I think there'll be some carryover? Let me break down last season's statistics for you. They did lead the league in sacks. They were seventh in points against. They were fifth in yards against. They did other statistics, not so great on a per average basis of yards against, but really they were like top 10 across the board in a lot of categories. And yes, I think Shazier is a big part of that. Look, the guys now filling in for him, Kev, are, give me a second as I pull this up. It's just not the team that it was a year ago. Every team every year is a different scenario, but Cam Hayward is still there. Javon Hargrave, Stephon Tuitt. I do like that defensive line. Bud Dupree has been disappointing, but is back for year number 15, 16, 17, 18, year number four. And then John Bostic and Vince Williams are the guys in the middle. And Tyler Matakevich are the guys in the middle. That's a huge drop-off from Shazier, who was becoming one of the best middle linebackers in football. It's a big drop-off. There's no doubt. John Bostic isn't there because he's an equal player. He's there because they needed somebody.
Yeah, I think, you know, the fact that they led the league in sacks, you kind of dropped that on me. I think it was 2 weekends ago or whatever it was. That was a surprise. And if they can keep that type of pressure on teams, that can be enough. Because, again, they can score with any teams. And if they get TJ to take a step, I do think that that would be really, really significant for their defense.
Yeah. I mean, they drafted a safety in round one. They have struggled. It's been a long time. They have drafted a lot of defensive backs that, frankly, haven't worked out. So this year they drafted Terrell Edmonds in the first round to get some safety help. Joe Hayden is there. Artie Burns there. Mike Hilton there. It's pretty solid corners. Sean Davis was really good last year, especially in IDP leagues. And then Morgan Burnett they bring in as an unrestricted free agent, and then they draft Terrell Edmonds. So they are trying to fortify that back four as much as they can. They've worked consistently, I've seen year over year, to try to fix that. They had struggles with the offensive line, and they really have done a good job addressing that. And now they are trying to fix the struggles that they'll have there. But if you're looking at a weak spot, it's ironic because it was one of the strengths of the team a year ago, but it's middle linebacker. I think that's where they're going to get hurt. But again, you see how good a lot of their defensive stats were because they were able to get teams off the field with sacks, but also they control the ball a lot. They obviously do a really good job of controlling the ball because they have the best running back in football, in my mind, and star receiver and star quarterback. So they move the ball well, and Juju was a blessing to this team. I didn't think how would they think he'd be that good, and he was really good already. I'm not expecting a sophomore slump of any kind because I think they will continue to move the ball pretty rapidly. So that's sort of my outlook on it. I do think they win the division. We can go through game by game as well. But irony of teams like this and of players like this is you don't have to spend too much time on Le'Veon Bell. Well, go ahead. You have one more question.
Well, so what I was going to say is we can kind of switch it up, and I'd like to pose to you some of these fantasy questions. And what my first was going to be is, exactly what you were just about to say. Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, as fantasy relevant as they are, they're both first-round picks, it's almost there's not much to say. They are one of the first two guys always taken off the board in terms of their position. And as long as they're healthy, you're good.
Right now, NFFC, ADPs, Le'Veon Bell 2, Antonio Brown 6. That's the value.
I asked George. I asked George this because I actually heard it first originally, I think by Corey. And it kind of just had me thinking. Do you think we're getting value on Antonio Brown now because everybody's pushing the running back so far up?
Yeah, I do think that. Absolutely.
Yeah, because
I think people are eager to get the bell cow backs, and they forget how consistent he has been, just churning him out every year. You know, just 100 catches, double-digit touchdowns, just all the way down the line. You know, it's, you know, just to give you a sense, last year of scores in fantasy football. Let me get to the flex column. Oh, it doesn't even matter. So 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth. The only guys that scored more fantasy points than Antonio Brown last year, and he didn't play in week 16 and 17 because he was hurt, were Alvin Kamara, Le'Veon Bell, Russell Wilson, Todd Gurley. So quarterback and three other guys. And he did not play in two games. So points per game, I think the only guy that probably beat him in points per game is Gurley. Maybe Russ Wilson. He's a quarterback that ran for 600 yards because the team was terrible.
Rodgers.
He just had to do everything. It was amazing. So there you go on Antonio Brown. I think there actually is a little bit of value to, I think, good point by George. Would you take Antonio Brown over David Johnson or Zeke Elliott? Like, I would take him over David Johnson because I don't really know what that I don't know what that offensive line is going to be all the way across the board. I don't know how good they're going to be. I'm really conflicted on Arizona because when the odds I don't think they're as bad as people are saying, but I do think they have offensive line issues. The quarterback thing is I don't care that he's the starter. Bradford gets hurt all the time. Mm-hmm. And then it's a rookie in the middle of the year with a defensive head coach.
And an aging David defense. Johnson a zillion times.
That's the thing. That's why there's so much value there, because he could see a market share unlike. But, you know, realistically, who do you think has the most touches
David Johnson
this year? David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley. Rank them.
David Johnson.
They have to be efficient, though. They have to be efficient for that to happen. Scoring, yeah, maintaining drives.
We don't need to, like, it's not far ago. Like, think about what Todd Gurley did last year. The year before that, David Johnson was better.
We've had this argument before.
That's a fact.
That David Johnson's 2016 season was better than Todd Gurley's is not necessarily a fact. We're gonna have to spend more time on the Steelers too, by the way, because I got to chatting. But I'll do the Gurley Johnson comparison stats when we come back.
Yeah,
Gurley 2017 versus DJ. I got them in front of me. We'll do them when we come back because I don't have them all, but I want to be able to compare them side by side. But we don't have that much time, so we'll do Roethlisberger when we come back as well. Mm-hmm. But realistically, if you wanted to take Le'Veon Bell number one overall, I don't have a problem with it, but you just need to be mindful that last year he did not start off all that great when he sat out. You know, he was 10 for 32 in week one, 27 for 87 against Minnesota in week two, and then at Chicago, 15 for 61 and a touchdown. That's just his rushing stats. And then from then on, it was he just annihilated everybody, basically. Baltimore, 35 carries for 144 yards and two touchdowns. We're not even talking about his passing stats. We can do his game logs, I suppose, when we come back as well. So expectations are high. It's Super Bowl or bust. I don't even think the team is as good as last year, but that's just got to be what we're talking about, right? That just has to be the goal. That's it. Every year for teams like this, there's only a few teams that can say that year in, year out. And when Roethlisberger is closer and closer to retirement, you have to consider that. So he caught 85 passes last year for 655 yards, a couple of scores. He ran the ball 321 times for 1,291 yards and 9 touchdowns. Over 400 touches, the only guy in the league to do so. So we'll come back, we'll talk Roethlisberger, and then we'll make that Gurley DJ comparison if we have time. It's Mike and Kevin on FST, back right after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Great jam. Love me some Foo Fighters. You know, we're giving away more World Series tickets. Let me start that over, because that was terrible. You know, we're giving away more World Series tickets on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This time it's to the winner of free DFS baseball contests. The contests are sponsored by DKMS, who are looking for your help in the fight against blood cancer. For many patients, a bone marrow transplant is the best chance for survival. While 30% of patients can find a matching donor in their family, 70%, nearly 14,000 each year, must rely on a benevolent stranger to step up and donate. You can find out how you can help the cause and win 2018 World Series tickets playing free daily fantasy baseball by going to dailyroto.com/DKMS. That's dailyroto.com/DKMS. Your ticket to the World Series and blood cancer patient's ticket to life. Good stuff. A little applause from the background. Thank you. I don't know if it's because of my read or because of our effort to fight blood cancer, but I think both deserve that round. So we'll do this quick, because I know you could take up 20 minutes doing this, but we have the David Johnson versus Todd Gurley. David Johnson 2016 versus Todd Gurley 2017. Todd Gurley played one less game.
He got hurt in the first quarter. He played three drives. Take away the 44 yards.
What are you talking about?
David Johnson was hurt in the first quarter of that 16th game. They were an extra 44 scrimmage yards, 38 passing, 6 on the ground. He did not play full. He did not play one less game.
Well, I can't do that right now. I can't do that right now. I'm just saying it does. It was that the last game?
Yes, last game of the season.
So it doesn't matter. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't count anyway for fantasy football purposes, right?
Right.
Three touches. So let's. So I'll take away those three touches. Todd Gurley 279. David Johnson 290 rushing attempts. Todd Gurley had 1305 yards. To David Johnson's 1,239 yards. David Johnson had 16 touchdowns to 13 touchdowns. Todd Gurley, 4.7 yards per attempt. David Johnson, 4.2 yards per attempt. Right? So it's pretty close. I got that the touchdowns are different, but Todd Gurley running more efficiently. Receiving. Todd Gurley, 64 catches for 788 yards and 6 touchdowns. David Johnson, 80 catches for 879 yards and 4 touchdowns. So the totality is 20 touchdowns to 19 touchdowns. We've got 16 more catches and about 90 more yards for David Johnson. And we've got about 70 more yards rushing. The yardage is nearly identical, correct? Mm-hmm. Nearly identical.
Yep.
So we're talking about one touchdown. And
14 catch.
Todd Gurley put on a three-game stretch for fantasy owners that are considered now the greatest stretch in fantasy football history.
Wonderful.
So that's why I'll tell you, he had an amazing season in 2016. Todd Gurley's a little better to me.
David Johnson had 100-plus scrimmage yards. 15 of the first 15 games and then got hurt. Unprecedented. Never done before.
Yeah.
So Gurley, huge burst. Wonderful. Congrats. Awesome. That consistency from David Johnson, it was unparalleled.
I mean, the lowest point total for Gurley last year, he had a 5-point game against Seattle.
Yuck.
He ran for 100 yards against Jacksonville. For a 13-point game against Minnesota, he scored a touchdown for another 14.5-point game. But again, that stretch, 21.8, 28.5, 45, and 49.6, like, it just puts it over the top for me. I do think he had a better season. I understand the consistency you're talking about, and I'm not bashing David Johnson anyway, but I think we'll have to agree to disagree because I like the fact that he brought the teams the championship as opposed to, you know, which is, it's a good problem to have when we're picking these two. So are we settled on this? We'll agree to disagree. You think his is better. I think Gurley's is better.
I mean, it seems as if I have no choice. Yeah. I have a big Steelers question here.
Okay.
We do this a little bit with Eli, the both of us, where it's like, if we're going to draft all of these guys, then we should probably move Eli up. Now, Roethlisberger is not as far down. He's the 12th quarterback, but when you look at the guys that you're investing in, Antonio Brown, league's best receiver, Le'Veon Bell, what he can do as a pass catcher, Juju Smith-Schuster, some feel like he might be the best number two wide receiver in football. They normally get good production out of the tight end position. Is Big Ben a value at 12?
I think so. It's just that pretty consistently, he's not always really up there in that top five. So I think people like to go with guys with more upside. Mm. Now, 2 years ago, Ben had a great season. He tied, I think it was 4,952 yards. Ben had tied Drew Brees for the league lead, and that was, I believe, 2 seasons ago. What worries people are the home road splits. There isn't any way for me to argue my way around it right now. He doesn't have as big a numbers on the road. Last year, let's look at his road games. 263, 2 touchdowns against Cleveland. Good. 235 and 1 touchdown against the Bears. 56% completion percentage. That was the funky game for them. If they had won that game, and that was with all the national anthem stuff and a lot of confusion, they lost the game in overtime. Had they won that game, they would have been 14 and is that right? Yeah, they would have been 14-2 as opposed to 13-3. So that could have gotten them don't know. We would have gotten them a different opponent. Would have had them against the Titans instead of the Jags. So is what it is. Next one, at Baltimore, 18 of 30, 216, one touchdown, one pick. Kansas City, 252, one touchdown, one pick. At Detroit, these are all road games, by the way. 17 of 31, 317, one touchdown, one pick. At Indianapolis, 236, two touchdowns, one pick. At Cincinnati, 290, two touchdowns, one pick. At Houston, 226, two touchdowns. He probably took the fourth quarter off there. So he might have taken the whole second half off. They won 34-6. Mm-hmm. So,
I mean,
no, of all the road games, no one 300 yarder, bunch of interceptions, you know? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven interceptions. He had 14 on the year. So half of them came on the road, but you have to extract a fluky
That's
game.
That's kind of crazy. I know exactly where you're going to say.
Of the five pick game against the Jags. So in his other seven home games, he had two interceptions.
Which is very, very good. You know, I think the one thing that is nice about Big Ben is
tried to argue against this for a while, but the home road splits they're noticeable. So people sometimes feel like if you draft for Roethlisberger, you have to draft another QB when he's on the road.
If you're not playing in a 2QB league, if you're not playing in a super flex, though, I think that that's okay to draft two quarterbacks. If you're waiting and you get Big Ben and then you pair him with a Philip Rivers at 16 and you just play the matchups, you know, that might be a better position than, say, the guy who takes Kirk Cousins as the eighth quarterback off the board. Would you? So let me ask you that.
I agree with that, but here's the problem. So Roethlisberger, I'm looking at NFFC ADPs right now. It's a little bit of a higher stakes skew, but Roethlisberger going 97th overall. So 8th, beginning of the 8th round. Is that right? Beginning of the 9th round. And then Phil Rivers is the next guy off the board, like five picks later. So the problem with that is in a draft strategy like that, you're taking them back-to-back rounds. What you don't really want to do that. You want to wait on Roethlisberger, maybe get him in the 9th, maybe get him in the 10th round, and then he can wait it out, and maybe you get Marcus Mariota, who we both like.
Yeah.
Maybe you have to wait even longer and get Dak Prescott. You know what I mean? It starts to get into guys like that, and maybe you're not as confident about that second quarterback. It could be Eli. You know, it could be Roethlisberger and Eli, draft mates. So, yeah. So that's what some people feel. I battle against it a little bit, but the numbers are stark. That's just last year. There's other years where you'll see similar poor road splits. But I think he's right there. I think he's a QB1 last year. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 is where he finished. Tied, actually, with Dak Prescott. Right behind Drew Brees. He beat out Jared Goff, Blake Bortles, Case Keenum, Matt Ryan, Tyrod Taylor, and others. He was right behind Brees and Rivers. So there you go. I think he's QB1, but I think he's the end of the QB1 conversation, like he usually is.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I just look at the early start to their schedule.
You're talking about the shootout thing, too, Kev.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is you talked about shootouts. Like, does this? I don't think the defense will be bad enough that's a shootout, like most weeks.
Well, yeah,
go ahead.
I thought there was maybe a butt coming there. No, I don't know if they're going to be in a ton of shootouts. I think the one thing that's good for them is if they are, they can still win all of those. To the point, though, of just the home road splits and if you look at their first six games, it's at Cleveland, home versus the Chiefs, at Tampa, home versus the Ravens, home versus the Falcons, and at the Bengals. So the three easiest teams are all of the road games. And then the three of the better defenses, the Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Falcons, just in terms of those front six games, where if you did draft Big Ben, how great do you feel in those first 6 weeks where, you know what, depending on who your backup is, home versus the Chiefs, you probably play him against Cleveland and home versus the Chiefs, you know, but you got to be tough. You got to be careful with that home road.
Great point, though. First 6 weeks, those road games aren't that tough.
But I mean, the Bears game wasn't supposed to be tough.
I think they'll be 5-1 going into the bye.
Not even talking about Steelers. Not talking about the Steelers. I'm talking about just what we were with in terms of playing Big Ben. Like that Bears game, and I know they lost it, but they just he should have had good numbers. He did not.
No. Agreed. That was a really weird game. When I replay that one back, it was just a really weird game. They played terribly. They played as bad as they could play. And they still, it was right down to the wire. But, I get it. But, so that's what you have to consider with Roethlisberger. Look, we don't have to spend any time on AB and on Le'Veon. Mm-hmm. I think if you want to take Le'Veon number one overall, if you want to take Antonio Brown number one overall, no complaints from me. I'm not going to criticize you for that. Super consistent, and he'll get it done for you, no doubt. So Schuster is the guy we need to talk about next. Juju Smith-Schuster currently going, 16th wide receiver with Antonio Brown 1, and he's 16th. That's high. That's a good amount of expectations for Juju in year 2. I knew he was in the wide receiver 2 conversation. I feel like he's crept up since the last time I looked. Where did he finish last year? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20th last year. 58 for 917, 7 touchdowns. Obviously, he has big playability. 3 100-yard games, including Week 17 against Cleveland. He had Detroit. He hit up for 7 for 193. He had another 97-yard game. The touchdowns were what were the encouraging thing. He had some big playability and big touchdowns. He was really people fired him up in DFS a lot because they felt like he could have a breakout game. So as a 16th wide receiver, I think it's right there because the top three pass catchers are obviously going to be him, AB, and Le'Veon. So there's plenty of targets to go around. As far as their depth chart is concerned and who else they're looking at right now, it's James Washington, who they drafted in the second round. So that rookie's got some buzz. Eli Rogers is still on the roster. Justin Hunter still on the roster. And then Darius Heyward-Bey, a veteran presence that they've liked to have around for a while. So I think that's your 6 guys. We'll see. It could be other roster bubble guys. As far as Le'Veon's backup is concerned, I drafted James Conner in Scott Fishbowl. I think if you are dedicated to handcuffing a guy, I think he's the guy you want, not Jalen Samuels, who can be a ball-carrying fullback, but I think they'd like James Conner in that role. So if you need a backup in best ball style roto leagues, then James Conner is the guy and nobody else. And a tight end. So we talked about Vance McDonald before. Let's see exactly where he's going. That note is pretty interesting from Roto World, right? How he is, since he was banged up and he is now specifically the number one tight end, he could be an interesting sleeper. But right now, he is the 27th tight end off the board, so there's many other options above him.
On the Juju Smith-Schuster point, last year, the only players that caught more passes than him that had a higher yards per catch were Julio Jones, Brandon Cooks, and Marvin Jones. He was incredibly efficient, 15.8 yards per catch. And one of the things, you look at that and you're like, okay, well, then the numbers likely come down in terms of that efficiency. He had 80 targets last year. Martavis Bryant saw 84. So there's a lot of targets to be replaced by that. And Juju Smith-Schuster is going to see 100-plus targets. So I feel really, really good in terms of making up for the efficiency that is going to potentially be lost. I mean, he's a big play guy. 15.8, it's higher, though, than Antonio Brown. So maybe it comes down to 14.5, give or take. But he can make up for that because if he sees that 100-plus targets, maybe 110, give or take, and he brings in 80-some-odd catches, that's going to be really, really good.
Yeah, 27 guys in the league had 100 targets last year. I think you're right about where his numbers will go, considering he was a rookie and took some time to get acclimated on the field. I think that's interesting. Vance McDonald only had 24 targets last year. Could he triple that? I mean, he only had 14 catches in the regular season, so I don't want to get
crazy
about it. I think he's undraftable right now, but just put him on your watch list.
Well, look, if we get the word that he's 100% the guy, I mean, Jesse James still 63. So if that comes out to, even conservatively, if he gets 70 targets, catches 50 of them,
yeah,
and brings it to 500 plus yards and say maybe five touchdowns, give or take. I don't know where those totals would leave you in terms of the tight end position, say last year, but that doesn't sound like a bad season at all.
Now there's about 12 or so guys had 50 plus catches, so you're talking end of the tight end one conversation, you know. He's a sleeper in that sense, not a sleeper to break out and be crazy. You know, there's have a crazy season. So that's it. We get to ask Gary more questions about the IDP stuff at the top of the hour, but we're going to turn the page over to the Browns next on FST. It's Mike Bluden and Kevin Walsh. Thanks for listening on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Sean Angle producing, feeling it a little handsome. Get you out of bed in the morning, right? Fantasy Factor is the only exclusively single-entry DFS site. They have free roles registering. They have free roles registering all the time and great promotions for free prizes. Keep a lookout for Fantasy Factor's free $1 million Survivor Contest. It's going to open about a week before the NFL kickoff, so go to fantasyfactor.com. That's fantasyfactor.com. So I'm surprised you didn't ask me any hot takes on the Steelers. Like, is Tomlin on the hot seat if they don't win the Super Bowl? Like, no. They've had three coaches. I'm 45 years old. They've had three coaches in my lifetime. They just don't make changes like that. I do think that, like, 10 years at the helm of an NFL team is a long time. And right now, only a few guys qualify for that. I think Tomlin, Belichick, and Marvin Lewis. I doubt anybody else is in double digits. Right?
You just asked yourself a question and then laughed at the silliness of the question. That was awesome.
I thought you were going to ask me that. I would have laughed. I would have laughed at the you asking. I didn't. That. So
I don't think Mike Tomlin's going anywhere.
Your hot take. Did you get all your hot take Steeler questions out of the way? I just want to make sure you did, because we spent 40 minutes talking about them.
Yeah, I'm good. They're clearly great. A cut above the division.
So why don't you start off with the Browns?
Love to.
I'll hand it over to you.
What
do you got?
So here's the thing with the Cleveland Browns, just kind of last year going through some of the DVO rankings for this football team, and immediately jumps out. They were 32nd in offense. The absolute worst offense in football last year. DeShone Kizer was...
The Browns?
DeShone Kizer, the whole situation was a mess. They went 0-16, as everybody knows. Hugh Jackson kept his job, which is one of the question marks that will remain about this team. Regardless, though, they have gotten better probably everywhere aside from left tackle. I do think the fact that Joe Thomas retired has been underrated. But at running back, they add Carlos Hyde and Nick Chubb. You like that. Quarterback is Tyrod Taylor. Even if Baker Mayfield were the guy for 16, I think you'd feel better about that than DeShone Kizer. You've got Jarvis Landry coming over, and now hopefully, they're hoping a full season of Josh Gordon. And again, we've done a lot of this conversation, you know, and I say we as kind of a general statement. Who's going to be that big offense to pop? This was the worst offense in football. Top 10 potential. Maybe it sounds like a drastic jump. There's a lot of talent on this offense. And I think that's one of those things to try and decide. Just how much can this offense pop? And you know, is there still an argument to be made or that it will be held back by the coaching?
So Todd Haley's new offensive coordinator, yes. Hugh Jackson, obviously remains as head coach. I hate the fact that Hugh Jackson stayed, personally. I think he might be holding them back, but I think Todd Haley is a nice introduction for them. He did it, he did do a good job with the Steelers. His personality may wear on people, and it's why he's found himself bouncing around a little bit. But I actually think he's got enough talent to be a head coach again. Don't know if it's ever going to happen, but I do think he did a good job with Roethlisberger. Couple stats, too, on the Browns. They did score the least points in the league. They allowed the second most points in the league. It's quite a deficit. Here's something that's pretty amazing. They turned the ball over the most in the league. They created the least turnovers for a plus-minus turnover ratio of 28. Minus 28. Amazing. Hard to do. Really difficult to pull that off. But they did it.
Well, I'll tell you this.
I don't know that I've ever seen – I'm sure somebody could text us in 2 seconds and be like, yeah, of course, the 99 Jets were – or, you know, the 2007 Jets were worse. But that's hard. Minus 28. It's impressive. Mm-hmm. So go ahead. Keep going.
One of the things that I really want to ask Gary Davenport about to see if he can kind of help me understand this, where do you think the Browns would have ranked – defensively last year in terms of DVOA? If you had to just guess.
If I had to guess. They have talent on that defense, but God, they were just getting shredded because they were playing Jabril Preppers like 30 yards off the ball. I don't know. 20th?
They were 16th. That's top fringe, yeah. But it's top half of the league. And I'm curious if he could offer some type of explanation, like maybe this defense was better than we realized, because I do think, let's just say somehow them being 16th in a defensively DVOA is something that we could actually see on the field if the offense is not always putting them in horrible positions. And then you add Denzel Ward, maybe get a full season out of Myles Garrett. There's some other additions that they made within the secondary as well. If Jabril Peppers takes a little bit of a leap, like maybe then, if this defense can hold as a top 16, or even let's just say a top 20 defense, that offense is going to take a big jump where maybe the Browns can push for, you know, what some people have talked about as a 500 record. And maybe they get really, really interesting.
Tyrod Taylor is like a perfect solution for this team because he is... he's a somewhat risk-averse quarterback, but he takes care of the ball. I think Brady's the only one in the last, like, three seasons. Brady's the only one with a better interception ratio. Like, he doesn't turn the ball over a lot. Now, people will tell you that, yeah, he's risk-averse and Alex Smith-like, and that he doesn't make the throw that he feels like could result in a turnover, but that's not a bad quality. It just probably limits some of the upside of that particular offense. Mm. And I've seen people argue, like, where's the proof? Where's the proof of this? I get it. Just telling you what I see and, like, what some of the statistics show. But right now, you get Tyrod for free, basically. In ADPs right now, he's going 22nd. So he has value in a 2QB league, a super flex league. And where I'm seeing him right now as I'm scrolling through the NFFC, there he is, 196th. So 16th round, you know, a lot of these NFFC. So that's virtually free. You know, you can get Tyrod super late in, but you're only going to see him in super flex and 2QB leagues, at least to start the year. We'll see how it goes. What we really need to focus on, too, I think they'll be better, markedly better. They've turned this roster over so much in the last 2 years. I thought Sashi Brown was fired too soon, but doesn't mean that what Sashi did was right or wrong yet, and it doesn't mean that what John Dorsey has done is right or wrong yet. He did not make the decision to hang on to Hugh Jackson. That was Jimmy Haslam, the owner's call. So we'll see. I don't expect to see Baker for a while.
So
I don't think – I think the Browns will be bad enough that in that last month they'll be like, all right, it's Baker time.
So that's what I wanted to ask you before we get into the skill positions. They open the season first – 10 weeks is tough. Let's just go through the first six. Home versus the Steelers at the Saints.
L.
Okay,
L.
We'll do that. Home versus the Steelers at the Saints. Both losses. L. Thursday night football, home versus the Jets.
W.
Okay.
Off the schneid.
At the Raiders.
I'll coin flip it, but Raiders are at home, so I got to give it to the Raiders, 1-3.
Home versus the Ravens.
And then the next week, home against the Chargers. I'll give them one of those.
Okay, that's fine.
So
two
let's make it 2-4.
You think that Taylor survives a 2-4 start?
Yeah, because you're not going to throw Baker on the road at Tampa, at Pittsburgh.
They go then at Tampa, at Pittsburgh.
2-4 is not terrible.
It's not terrible. But listen, 2-4 is not terrible, except for when you have the number one overall pick on the bench, because it becomes a little bit more difficult. We
Fair
know
point.
How this goes.
Fair
like,
point.
I look at it similar to you. Wow, the first
Here's
10 games,
go
not great. Cap. Love to start in week 12 off the bye. I just don't know if it's realistic.
Yeah, but I think that's what happens, because right before the bye week, at Pittsburgh, Kansas City, Atlanta, bye week, week 11, week 12, on the road against Cincinnati. It sucks that they have four of the last six on the road. But it would be at Cincinnati, at Houston, Carolina, at Denver, Cincinnati, at Baltimore. That's not great. That wouldn't be fun for a rookie. But I'm not saying Cincinnati, Houston, or anything to write home about. But
it's not great.
That's not a fun.
Here's the thing. Let me ask you this, right?
So that's what I think.
Then you are on the trajectory to predict them to be 3-7. Is Hugh Jackson holding on to that job throughout this year?
I don't see them making a mid season change. The guy has gone 1-31.
Mm.
Because then what happens in building? Then you have a rookie without a real head coach, and who's coaching? Todd Haley last stretch? I mean, Haley and John Dorsey have ties, but
this is why I think that the whole Hugh Jackson thing was such a mess, because you knew they were drafting a quarterback. I am not being facetious. This is why I cannot wait for Hard Knocks to start, because you can actually get some answers to this. I'd like to just see how much Baker is going side by side with Todd Haley, because if they can make that connection and that link, then yeah, I do think that that's the replacement for Hugh Jackson. Say what you want about it, but Todd Haley does have head coaching experience. I just don't know if Hugh Jackson.
I think it's always important to have former head coaches on staff. We talked about it with Ohio State. I think it's important in this instance too. Cleveland's over/under, for the record, 5.5 right now. I don't know if there's been movement, but at -145 for the over, so it's actually sort of an expensive bet. I think they're going to win 5 in going through this. So that's pretty close. I don't feel confident that they'll get 6. I don't feel terribly confident that they'll only win 4. I think they're about a 4-5 win team, but 6 wouldn't stun me at all. 6-10 isn't anything to write home about. It just happens to be a huge improvement for this team. Let's get back to the positional stuff for the Browns. Running backs. This is the one that people really are torn on, because I am not out on Carlos Hyde, but many people are, and they just want to pick up Nick Chubb, who I actually got in my dynasty. No, I didn't get him. I got Ronald Jones. I think Ronald Jones has the clearest path to a lot of touches in Tampa versus Nick Chubb in Cleveland. But long term, I would probably have Chubb. He just got taken the one pick before me, so I was taking one of the two, whoever was there. But right now, I haven't heard anything to the effect that Chubb is going to be the starter. I think there's stuff to be done here in these next few weeks. But Carlos Hyde, currently the 34th running back off the board, 83rd overall. I'm okay with that. like if he's your RB3?
Yeah, you know, it is difficult to tell how they're going to handle all of these guys behind these rookies. You know, and what kind of, I mean, Carlos Hyde, I think right now is a better running back than Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb, I know that there's a lot of hype about him when he was at Georgia, but he was surpassed by Sonny Michel last year. We saw that there was a gap between the two. And Duke Johnson is still on this football team. Like, we talk about running.
Duke Johnson's going to catch a lot of passes.
I'd say I'd rather be a LeGarrette Blount owner than have to deal with this Browns backfield. As much as a mess as the Lions situation is, I can at least find roles to where, at least, all right, these things kind of make some sense to me. I don't know what's going to happen in Cleveland.
Well, I think the Browns is that we talked a little bit about this yesterday. They may be that kind of committee where, yeah, it's running back by committee, but it's because Hyde's going to play for three games, and then Chubb's going to come in, and Duke Johnson is going to be taking those carries, and somebody will get banged up, and then Hyde comes back in, and then you're probably not going to have a bell cow at all, although you could have it in stretches. So that's what's hard to predict, and why you see in an NFFC formats, Nick Chubb is going 93rd pick overall, Carlos Hyde 94th pick overall. They are the 90. They are right back to back where they're being drafted. So that means people are guessing who's going to hang on to the job for longer. Hard for me to tell exactly here what number running backs they're going in NFFC, but nonetheless, they're going right next to one another. So it's a take-your-pick scenario. You want Hyde early. You're hoping for Chubb late. You think Hyde stinks and that he's just going to lose the job. There are numbers that suggest his efficiency isn't that great, but I thought it was a good investment for them to make. They didn't pay him a lot. And I do think Carlos Hyde's got some, I'm not going to say gas left in the tank because he's still fairly young, but I still think he's a productive back.
I think
with a little help from the offensive line this year, I don't have a problem with people drafting him, but I'm going to put you on the spot, Hyde or Chubb. Who'd you pick?
What's the range right now? They're RB3s? You said?
Yeah. Yep.
I'd probably rather than take Hyde, because that means that depending on how my draft goes, I might have to start one of them. And at the moment, I'd rather start Hyde than Chubb.
According to Fantasy
start.
Pros, Hyde's 34th back. Chubb is the 40th back. So you don't have to pay as much for Chubb.
Yeah, I think I'd still take Hyde. You know, one of the difficult things is there is value in this this run game last year, if not for DeShone Kizer being the goal line back on this football team. Like, Isaiah Crowell would have maybe had a little bit of a decent season. And again, that offensive line is good. I don't know how much the Joe Thomas injury is going to hurt them. They're working, I think it's Patino who's trying to head outside and go to left tackle and see how that works for them. They really do need that to work, though. That's one of the things I think. How much can you overstate maybe the best player in the franchise, probably the best player in the franchise's history? Joe Thomas leaving and kind of
no,
no, oh no, Walter.
That's not right in recent memory,
Jim Brown. Right. Yeah, that's fine. That's why I said probably. Regardless, though, but also, you know, chemistry and things of that nature are things you have to see if you can find ways to factor in. And there is no mistake about it, that he was the captain of that offensive line. Now, they luckily do return a lot of the offensive line, but it still could leave some question marks.
Drafted a guard in the second round, Austin Corbett. So we'll do a little bit of Browns with Gary Davenport, who's going to join us after the break. You can find him on Twitter at IDP Sharks, and he's going to join us next to talk IDPs in general and fantasy football and the Ohio State Fair, where he was yesterday. So I'm excited to talk to him. Join us for hour number 3. Right after this.